Comedian Dean Del Rey is going to be in studio. We'll have some laughs with him, and then we'll roll right into the news. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They're all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Also, if you've never smoked weed when it was illegal, you don't deserve to smoke weed when it's legal. Well, yeah, you didn't earn it. If you've never smuggled it up your ass on a Southwest airline flight or threw your stash out the window because you're getting pulled over for expired tags, you don't just jump in the game now like, thanks for going to prison so I can smoke reefer for my anxiety.
Dean Del Rey on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Dean. Dean and I have talked extensively backstage at the Comedy Store about cars and music and all the things we love.
Yeah.
Dean does tons of stand-up. Got dates coming up. It's very funny, by the way, as you just heard, but I would hear it backstage when he was out in the main room. The Comedy Fort, Fort Collins, Colorado, by the way. That's July 15th, 16th coming up. And you should go the podcast, Let There Be Talk. You can check that out where you get better, wherever you listen to better podcast. And website, DeanDelRay.com for all the dates coming up. Dean, so here's a out of left field. I heard you love music.
Oh, yeah.
That's your thing.
Yep.
You have a genre you love more than others?
Nah, I love them all.
And so off the air, John Hyatt's name came up.
Yeah.
And you and I have never discussed John Hyatt, I don't think.
No. Nope.
Cars. But I love John Hyatt.
Yeah. It's you know, there was a period in my time where I played music for years. So, you know, I loved alt country. I loved singer-songwriter. I didn't know who John Hyatt was. And then this guy started playing in my band named David Emmergluck, who's the guitar player in Counting Crows. And he played with John Hyatt for years. And then I got into, what was it, Slow Turning,
mm-hmm.
and
Bring the Family.
Yeah, yeah, and all of those great, great records. And, you know, and then you start to think like, wow, man, this guy's not a household name. You know, it's just wild to me how great his songs are. The people that like him are the people you want to talk to at a party. You know?
Yeah, they're more interesting people.
Right. They read books.
You know? The thing that was always vexing to me about any of these artists, but John, so I was into John Hyatt in high school.
Wow.
Which puts me back literally 1980, 81. Right. I've always been into John Hyatt. And the thing that I always find interesting about music is you go, okay, John Hyatt's been around for a million years, such an amazing songwriter and performer, little to no radio support. And, you know, if you ask the average person on the street, have you heard of John Hyatt? Have you heard of the band Aha or Wham?
Yeah.
A Flock of Fucking Seagulls. They would all know these shit bands before they knew John Hyatt. And then so the answer that people give is like, well, he's kind of niche. He's a niche thing. You know, he's a comedian's comedian. He's not going to do a Netflix, whatever. But then everyone who has to hang out with me is forced to listen to John Hyatt, and they're forced to listen to the Jayhawks, and
The Jayhawks, great.
They're forced to listen to Graham Parker, and then at some point, I find them seeking out the Jayhawks. They go, we get in the car, and they go, well, put the Jayhawks on. So my little experiment of would people like it if they played this shit on the radio has already been done.
Yeah.
I've exposed people to it, and they go, hey, this is good.
Yeah.
So why can't it? What is that thing between the radio or the zeitgeist?
Yeah, I think it's weird because I've been on stage for 38 years, you know, music and now comedy. And I look at
Hold
it
on,
as,
it says Dean Del Rey 40 on my
56
on my thing.
You're a child prodigy. A
Chris, we
got to
hit these bios a little
I'm 56.
Harder.
I tell everybody my real age. just hopefully to inspire them. But,
all right.
You know, the way.
I just want to explain.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the problem with bio typos for me.
Yeah.
I look at something and I go, he's 40. He's 40? Is he 40? He's not 40. Now, whatever it is you say, whenever you're saying it, I got a little voice in my head goes, 40? Typo? 40? Should I bring it up? No, I don't want to say it doesn't look like he's. Thankfully, you go. Then you go, I've been on stage for 38 years. I'm like, he was one of the original orphans.
Yeah.
And Annie, right? Yeah. Like, 2 years old? What his dad was a singer and brought him up on stage.
Sure. Yeah.
Good.
But my point is, I often think
that
like.
That guy was in Top Gun?
Top Gun.
I didn't know about this. All right, sorry.
But what I'm trying to say is there's a thing pre-internet that seemed to work, and it worked great for like bands like Metallica or somebody that wasn't going to get on the radio. And that was like word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And if the word of mouth was strong, you know, pre-internet, you didn't need any radio. You were just doing arenas and shit. And that was the cool factor of that, you know. So there's some people, and the reason I brought myself up is, I've been podcasting like 11 years. I do comedy with the biggest comics. And you're trying to break through all the time. And then after a point, you just kind of go like, well, look at John Hyatt. And I was just saying last night, a comedian like Fahim Anwar, who I think is fucking incredible. I'm like, well, these guys are incredible. And then after a while, you just have to be like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it. And
but Dean, can I say this?
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield didn't break until he was in his 50s.
I know.
Still have a decade.
Yeah. Oh, I have. A decade and a half.
Being 40. Yeah,
chicken.
Being 40. Yeah.
I mean, you can really hone your craft.
I wish I was 40. You know what I mean? Because I would have a lot more time.
So, yeah, it is. It's music and comedy are that way, which is. When you take your favorite, biggest, you know, Dave Chappelle's, I know you open for Bill Burr a lot.
Yep.
If you just read the transcript of their stand-up and you read Dean's transcript of his bit, you wouldn't go, oh, this is, I could see why so many more people are attracted to whatever. And then if you physically saw them do it in a room alone, I don't know that you would know either. So then it becomes some sort of something in the universe, or like how do we decide, like, so in sports you look at LeBron James and you go, okay, that
we
guy just
it.
Took off from the free throw line with two guys guarding him and just fucking dunked on everybody and let me show you LeBron in high school when he was 16 with guys trying to box him out and him just jamming on him, right, but you couldn't say that with John Hyatt or the Jayhawks versus many bands you like or don't like or bands you've heard of. Like, you just couldn't look at them or hear them and go, oh, there's a difference.
Well,
or comedians, oftentimes.
I mean, you know, you look at Bill, who I think is one of the greatest comedians of all time. And
well, what would you say?
No, but I...
No, I agree.
I mean, I look at... Because I'm out with him every night. I see... This is like 35 years of work. So... It wasn't like he was the Bill Burr that he was 10 years ago when I met him 11 years ago. He was out doing the 5-show weekends and stuff, you know? So it took him 25 years. So those are the things that keep me driving, because when I'm touring with him, he'll drop these nuggets like, man, I remember being here. And
hold on, Chris just typed on my screen, Bill is 28, so I don't know. It's a full 25 years.
Well, we lived on other planets before, so this is totally different stuff than you guys are used to.
There may be some sad news with John Hyatt, so says Dr. Bruce, who's a friend of the show, who's a Hyatt fan, music fan, and collects like amps and guitars or something. He said that... I ran into Dr. Bruce a month ago, he said he went online and was buying some like Hyatt amps or equipment or something, and he may have Lewy body dementia or something.
Oh, yeah.
There may be something neurological going. I don't know if it's that. Mm. He just said something is up with him, and maybe Chris can scour the internet and see, or Dawson, or I don't know. Is there anyone in that? Yes. Okay.
See, oh, Chris says he just died of SIDS.
So we can see if there's something on the internet there. All right. Yeah, no, you're right. Like, you forget Bill Burr wasn't Bill Burr that long ago.
And never stopped.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, he's so inspiring to me because I watch him each night and he just changes the bits, tweaks them every night, just a hair here, hair there, different thing here, there, and different order or whatever, to where he's never going to get bored of what he's doing out there. He's always engaged. And I watch him every night. If I'm out working with him, it's like a masterclass every night to watch these comics. Like when I started at the store, I would sit in the back of the room till 2 a.m. and just see how each person reset the room, how they brought somebody up, when the blue light went on, you know, all of that stuff, just to constantly take it all in because it was like free class.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I completely agree. Did the difference between, I guess, opening for a comic and opening for a band... But you tell me, is when you open for a band, are people filing in while you're on stage versus a comic where the place is pretty settled by the time you hit the stage?
Well, we're doing the arenas right now. Bill's doing arenas. And so I am getting the straggles in, you know. And you just try to grab what you can grab, you know. Maybe save your best stuff towards the end of the set. Whatever you can do. Once in a while, you get lucky and the whole place is seated, and then it's on, you know?
And what do you do with your act playing, going from the comedy, you know, the comedy club, the original room with 140 seats or something to an arena?
It's funny because you just have to figure it out. It's like, hey, we're doing arenas. Like, oh, okay. I got to go learn that. And I'm only 13 years in. But everybody gave me a great note, and it's to go slow because it takes a while for the arena to all catch up on the laughs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go fast, if you're just going off the first 10 rows, you can hear them, then you're steamrolling over some great laughs. So I just kind of sit in it, and then it starts to erupt. You're like, wow. When you hit something in an arena, like we did the Trailblazers Arena last Thursday in Portland, it was insane. Huh. You know, it's just like...
Yeah, that many people laughing at once.
Fuck. And I had the best show of my life a few weeks ago at the LA Forum. Like, I was like, oh, it's probably not going to get better than that. You know?
Yeah, I don't think it will.
Yeah.
But again, I know, you're so young.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 40. You know, I'm 40 here.
Idea. You find anything about John Hyde?
There's one article. There's no, and I've, it's from My Vinyl Countdown. And the headline is...
The Vinyl.
That's good. That's good. John Hyatt living with Lewy body dementia. But there's nothing else online that I'm seeing.
Mm. See, he's not even famous enough for them to put his illness up.
Right.
God, that's rough.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we'll ask you.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a sort of wide recognition, one of these bands I'd mentioned, or have not so much wide recognition, but anyone you talk to who's anything about music all loves John Hyatt?
Right, like a comic's comic.
As a comic. Would you rather be the broad... I mean, both is always the best, but would you rather be the broad or the comic's comic?
I'd rather be the comic's comic, actually. I don't care about getting famous. I want to be funny, and I just don't want to beg for spots. That's the only level I want to get to. I want to be able to put in the spots I want, and I get them every week, and then just work on getting funny, you know?
Let's talk cars.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you're a big car guy.
Love them. I'm off cars now, by the way. It's all about real estate and mid-century homes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's
my... Well, we can talk about mid-century modern if you want.
Oh, that's my...
Post and beam.
Oh, dude. Post and Beam, Neutra, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright, Mid-Century, Joshua Tree, Palm Springs.
I love all that shit. Architecture is weird, and maybe there's a thing. All right, let's try to figure this out. Some people just have no interest in that stuff.
Oh, which that's crazy, right?
I find it insane.
Yeah. They don't care what they live in.
But there's people that don't really care about food.
Yeah.
And they don't really care about music.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, can we say that architecture is a kind of a metaphor for caring or like being interested in things or wanting more or seeking or something? Or, Brian, you love food. You know everything about food. You love cinema.
Indeed.
But I don't hear you talking about architecture. So.
No, I appreciate it, but it's just not knowledgeable. We'd be remiss not to point out Gina's wedding. Where your wedding was.
You mean
was.
Chris's wedding?
Ah, you were there. Yes, sorry, the Lautner compound.
Yeah, we were at the Lautner compound in the desert. It was exactly that. Yeah. Really
apologies,
amazing.
Chris.
With me, I didn't figure out my obsession with architecture. I've always loved it, and I didn't know why. And then about 2 years ago during the pandemic, I was born in Yosemite and grew up there.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So I went back. Brad Wilk and I from Rage Against the Machine, we go, let's go hike Half Dome. Let's get out there during the pandemic. And as I pulled into the valley and we stayed at the Yosemite Lodge there, and, you know, we got the Awani there and all the stuff.
I stayed there.
Yeah. And I realized, I was like, but this is... It's been in my blood since I was born because everything in there is mid-century. Mm-hmm. It's all Joseph Eichler-looking buildings or Frank Lloyd Wright-looking stuff. And I was like, oh, this is where it comes from. And even the half-dome design is like a, kind of a, you know, a minimalist type of design. It's just the dome in a pencil thing. So that's where it all comes from, and I didn't really realize. And growing up in the Bay Area with all the Lloyd Wrights around there and Eichlers.
Yeah, I agree. I was lucky enough to work in the business of building for many, many millions of years before I got into show business.
Wow.
So I was able to actually execute the things I wanted to do. I feel like a lot of people see a drawing or something and they have to show it to somebody who like comes in and did it, but I went nuts on, this is probably the longest I've ever spent not remodeling a place, and I still do some things, but I it's a great passion, and I feel bad that many don't have that, like and I think, you know, philosophically, and talking about the pandemic and stuff, it's like you need those things. Your passion cannot be looking at your phone. Like,
no.
You need the tactile part. But then, so the first step is the interest and the studying and that part. And then the next step is when you start physically picking up tools and executing the stuff. Are you getting into that?
I'm not, but what I started to do was interview some of the people that are making the stuff these days, like a guy like Andy Canada or Troy Cudlock. These are guys that are, you know, like Cudlock, they got the designs from the Eichler family.
Are they building the furniture and stuff?
They're building the places that are exact to Eichler's out in the desert. And that's really radical. And, you know, this place, Homestead Modern, they're an Airbnb that has some of the greatest architectural houses in the desert. And so I've been staying in these just to figure out the types of vibes that I'm into. And not in like a hippie way, but really kind of just in this like, wow, this is a different way of living where you just no fucking phones, no internet, just the rocks, trees and glass, you know, and after a while, your brain starts to just ease off like, oh, God, you know. So I'm way into that. I'm trying to figure out how to do that and do comedy at the same time, you know, like just hub out of somewhere. Like, you know, I follow this mid-century for sale. And, you know, here's one right now. Aaron Paul's selling one in Boise, Idaho. It's the greatest home I've ever seen for a mill three.
Get that Breaking Bad money.
This home is so mind-boggling. I'm like, well, I got to live in Boise, but fuck it. Why not just TV show, film a show a year? Could I live here?
What's the price?
1-3, but it's
I'll take it.
It's insane.
It looks like a resort.
It's in his no, that's not it. Oh. It's in his Instagram, the first photo. It is mind-boggling. It looks like a Lloyd Wright. It's got a pool in the middle of the house, and these doors open up, and it's all open. And then the rest, there it is right there. And then the rest is brick.
There's just something, first off, if you hate bad design, like everyone hates bad design. Everyone hates the thing where you open the refrigerator door and it cuts off the kitchen and someone's knocking on it because you're looking for something. And you're like, why didn't you go with the double door instead of one single huge door and whatever? If we can all agree we hate that, or we hate the bad shower faucet where you can't tell if it's hot or what's cold or if you pull it out or push it in or whatever, then we should also agree that the opposite of that we would love, which is great, flowing, beautiful design.
Yeah.
It's a quality of life issue. It just, you feel better when you're not looking at a Brady house.
We, Burr and I were on tour and we were in like Minnesota or something and we're staying at some hotel. And then I said, yeah, we got to go see some Frank Lloyd Wrights out here because we go look at some architecture and stuff. And I go, wait a minute, there's a Frank Lloyd Wright hotel here. It's the last one ever. And Brill goes, we're checking out of here right now. And we go over to the other hotel. And the difference of the hotel was night and day. You're just in this piece of art, you know? And we're just in there like, look at this thing, man. It was like a wood boat. It was so great. But yeah, you know, people like, they fucking buy these houses, they tear them down, and they put these modern ranch farm looking, you know, Home Depot fucking house in the neighborhood, and they sell them for $5 million. It's like, you just took down history.
There's been a few in my neighborhood that sort of built from scratch, and they go with this sort of faux 80s Palm Spring hacienda look, and it's just such weak sauce. And I always think, you have a blank sheet of paper here. Why are we doing it this way? Why are we making, you know, the outside has the foam with the weird stucco on the foam that's hot glued to with the Roman OG cut into it. And it's just stuck around every window and it's painted beige and the paint the house Navajo white and the fixtures, outdoor fixtures look tinny and light. And you're like, this is a $10 million house.
I know, $10 million.
It looks like a show home that is like a facade.
Well, I don't. And the answer is, a lot of people just don't give a shit.
They don't care.
It's all about square footage.
I want open floor plan. You know, it's like, yeah, fuck you. There's a lady.
You should be a realtor.
Yeah. There's a lady in my neighborhood. She has the best fucking house, right? She's got this Porsche 911. It's like a 76 out there. And I walk by it every day. And one day I saw her, I go, hey, you want to sell that house? I don't have the money, but I would figure it out. And she goes, no. But I'll tell you this. You see this whole street? They were all like this. And then these assholes came in here and tore them all down and put these things up. And those things will be out of style in 10 years. And then they'll tear those down. And then they'll try to build what used to be there. You know, oh, we're going to build like a mid-century modern here. You're like, you tore one down.
Well, you know, the key is, because the first house I did that I owned for me was Hollywood Land, 1923.
Oh, amazing.
French Normandy.
Oh, yeah, killer.
With a huge granite Mulholland wall around it up on a precipice. It was I love that house. And I just went nuts on it. But I tell everyone, if you're going to restore a vintage car, you got to put it right back to what it was, nut and bolt. Do not get influenced by the whims, like, because I remember I did another big 1928 Lake Hollywood Spanish house, and somebody's saying, well, you got to go shabby chic, because it was shabby because it was 2003 and people were going shabby chic.
And
I would tell them, do you know how many really cool, like, Spanish duplexes from 1927 on the west side I've walked into beautiful vaulted ceilings and arch doorways and hardwood floors. And you walk into the kitchen and they have the fucking avocado colored appliances, and the countertop is burnt orange, and it's got the fucking shit, acoustic shit sprayed on the ceiling. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because the house was built in 27, and in 1974, it was time to redo the kitchen.
Yeah.
And they went, well, I've seen the Brady Bunch. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And someone needed to go, no, no, we must do it as it was.
Yeah.
And all the shit you hate architecturally, you walk into a bathroom from a house that was like from the 20s, and you walk into a bathroom that was redone in the 70s, it's a fucking shit show.
It's so ugly.
To your point, I'm doing a lot of looking for houses right now, and we're all over Burbank and Sherman Oaks and blah, blah, blah. So many craftsman houses, they're like, oh, this will be interesting inside, and it's exactly what all white, blindingly white open floor plan, open concept. Like, this doesn't look like the house
with
from,
stringing,
the yard.
Three stringing lights over the fucking, you know, counter where you're eating.
They're all the same inside.
And you know, the good shit, man, it sells in 1 minute.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I go to open houses all day long. I do comedy at night, and then I go to open
it's
houses.
It's fun, right?
You wearing the Iron Maiden shirt? Or
I walk right in,
In LA, he looks like a multi-millionaire.
Oh, yeah, you look like a producer.
It reminds me of the story of Slash when he fucking first got his big money and went down to, like, Beverly Hills Porsche, and no one would talk to him. He's in leather pants and no shoes, and people are just walking by him. This is a story. I don't know if it's true, but if it is, it's great. And no one talked to him. Then the guy was washing the cars, and he's like, oh, shit, you're Slash. I love you. And he's like, man, I'm trying to buy a car here. He goes, oh, I'll take you in, you know, because he looks like Slash. He goes in, and the guy's like, yeah. He goes, this guy's a big rock star. He goes, okay. He goes, I want to buy two cars, but only if this guy gets the commission, the car washer
That's
guy.
Awesome.
Wow.
You know, all you guys can fuck off, you know. So I see when I go into open houses, sometimes they just, you know, you got that woman that tried to be an actress, you know, for like 30 years, or the dude, and they got like the spray tan and more plastic surgery than anybody.
Excuse me, sir, put the booties on.
Oh, yeah.
You're not special.
Could you pick up your dog, please?
I hate so that realtor's fucking horrible.
Oh.
And I ran into one of those dudes 2 years ago when I was looking around in Malibu, spray tan guy. Modeling or acting would have been his first choice, judging by his picture.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. And now he's selling condos in Malibu. And what drives me nuts is, like, there's basically a beat sheet. It's like year built, square footage, gas appliances, whatever. Just fucking commit it to memory. Yeah. You walk into the place, the guy wants $1.89 million. You're like, how many square feet? And he's like,
grab that.
The brochure's on the island over there. It's like, dude,
how about this one? What's the HOA cover? You know, I'm not really sure. What the fuck are you talking about?
Are you
How do
sell
you
this
not
or?
Know?
Yeah.
I already know, and I'm on the way over here. It's 3:40. Right. It has earthquake, water, and landscaping, dick.
Here's the Redfin link if you need it.
Fuck these guys. They are garbage. And my buddy, he said he's a realtor. First of all, I've got the best realtor in the world. Her name's Vivian Yoon, and she is a ninja. And she does Montana and here. She just sold the most expensive house in Montana, $40 million. Yeah, unreal.
This thing's been to Montana Avenue in Santa Monica. That's high priced real estate.
This thing's fucking crazy.
Oh, Gavin Newsom bought it.
But this is the hilarious thing. My buddy's like, these fucking people, if they had to sell houses during the Fannie Mae era, where you were in the open house for 6 weeks begging people, hey, are you here for the house? You know? Now you come in and they're like on their phone, like, yeah, it's over there. You know, it's crazy. You could do blow in one of the bathrooms. They wouldn't even know. You'd just be in there chopping up blow. They're just, you know, you could do what you could actually stay in the houses. After they leave, they wouldn't even check if you left.
It's always, you brought up Slash in the car dealership. It's the same thing. You walk into the Mercedes dealership, you're looking at a car that's $79,000, and you go, has this got the V6 or the V8? And they go, I don't know, let me check. And then you go, what's the horsepower in the V8? And they go, oh, it's peppy.
Oh, yeah.
It's peppy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Any peppy enough for you? Yeah. It's like, it's an $80,000 thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pretend it was an $80,000 toaster oven. Yeah. Don't you think you know something about it if you were trying to sell
it? It's crazy, man. I sold motorcycles when I started comedy, and I knew everything about every fucking bike that came in. And the other guys were just part-timers. They didn't care. They just didn't like what they were doing. And they'd come in, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's 110 horse. This one here is 103 horse. That one has an 80-inch cubic. This is 6-speed. That's 5-speed. Whatever they want to know, you know, 21-inch front tire, 16 back, anything. Because then they're like, oh, this guy, you know. Yeah. And the other guys just, they just don't, people don't care.
But it's a commitment to mediocrity.
Yeah.
And it's probably what held this guy back in his acting modeling career, because right. He got the sides on a Friday and the fucking audition was on Monday. Flipped and he showed up fucking half baked with nothing.
He's like, I look good. I'm going to nail this. Yes. I look good.
There's no way that guy was committing the sides to memory and knocking the auditions out.
But like, when you look like me, you got to work like super hard. You got to know everything. You're ugly. You're not going to get it.
No, you're like the Smucker's commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Now you're a young man. You don't remember that.
Yeah. With a name like Smucker's, it has to be good.
It has to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me, man. I'm 56. I got to be super hard. I got to work hard, man.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and we'll do the news, and Dean will hang out and crack wise with us.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, something very shocking happened in Japan, because it does not happen in Japan. Japan's former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was gunned down by an assassin Thursday in western Japan. The 41-year-old suspect was apprehended. Police officers seized what appeared to be a handmade gun. I heard them talking about on the radio how it seemed to just be held together with like black duct tape. So not really
like
sure.
Wood, like it was a zip gun,
right?
Like and a prison gun,
like PVC pipe, and a couple and shotgun shells
in the line of fire.
Yeah.
John Malkovich was making his own gun,
right? Possibly a former military guy. The attack occurred while Abe was giving a campaign speech in a city street. Paramedics rushed him to the hospital, but he died a few hours later. Abe is Japan's longest serving prime minister from 2012.
I want to say this to the gun nuts, because they'll always go, see. They got no gun. They got super strict gun laws. This guy managed to make a gun. Yeah, but if that guy brought it into a school, I don't know how effective while he was shoving homemade bullets back down the PVC and stuffing a pipe cleaner in there and then getting a zip lighter and trying to ignite it.
Yeah, like, they've already beat the guy down.
Yes, I'd say the body count would be less.
Sure.
It never, ever happened in Japan, so it's got to be shocking.
Well, right. You know? It's completely unexpected. In all of last year, there was one recorded gun murder. The nation has very strict regulations on guns, but it seems to be a society that's just sort of all on board for, you know, for this kind of life. A
lot of range from the creators of Bukkake. You know what I mean? No, we will not shoot. Well, shoot
we don't
a load.
Abide by.
Yeah, shoot a load. Yeah, shoot but load. Not. Come on. Now we have principles here. Come on. We have dignity.
I couldn't believe it, actually, when I heard about it.
I don't think the nation of Japan, I mean, I think they're very, very confused about this. And from what we've seen in our culture, like, is this the genie you can't put back in the bottle?
The guns?
Yeah, in Japan. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, now poor Japan, because this is probably, I don't know, the gun was homemade. I don't know how, but, you know, how we roll is, you know, people want Sudafed, and then it turns out meth heads are crushing up Sudafed. So then Dr. Drew tells his wife to go get some Sudafed, and she wants two containers, but to only sell her one, because meth heads are crushing it up in the sink and making bathtub crank out of it. And so now with Japan, if this gun was made of a PVC and a flip-flop, then you're going to go into the hardware store and go, I need 12 feet of PVC. We can only sell you. We'll sell you less
no
than
more
3
sprinkler
inches.
Systems.
Right.
Sprinkler systems are illegal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, moving on, just to follow up on some other big news, Derek Chauvin, you probably remember the name, former Minneapolis police officer, was sentenced yesterday or a few days ago, now that you hear this, to 21 years in prison for federal civil rights violations during the killing of George Floyd back in May of 2020.
Well, that is a nice euphemism. A civil rights violation. He fucking killed him.
Derek Chauvin was previously convicted of state-level murder and manslaughter charges for Floyd's death, for which he received a sentence of more than 22 years in prison. Under the arrangement, Chauvin will serve his federal sentence at the same time as his state sentence, but will now be required to serve almost 18 years of his sentence before his earliest chance of parole. So I guess that's the sort of the bow on that story, for lack of a better way to put it, is he's serving them together, but he ain't getting out in about 20 years, maybe.
It's so much timing. You know what I mean? If that trial was held today, he'd have a much better chance. By the way, that's when Black Lives Matter weren't full of shit. You know, so we're all about Black Lives Matter. All obsessed. Everyone was fucking just staring at their TV sets. He'd have a much better shot done today, then he hit it right in the fucking pinnacle of us, and he never stood a fucking chance.
Well, he's not.
He definitely would have got manslaughter. I don't know how you do murder when you show up to something. Like I don't get the definition of murder for that crime.
That
like, manslaughter seems fit the definition. That murder, when you read the definition of murder, it's not you showing up after someone wrestled with cops for 15 minutes.
Yeah. That's a good question for Garagos. Did the jury find him guilty of murder? I thought they found him guilty of violating his civil rights and killing him. It's nomenclature.
Got murder was in there, too.
I have to go back and look at it.
Chris will look it up.
He is very isolated right now, as you can imagine, in maximum security in Minnesota. But his final location will be determined by the Bureau of Prisons. So no way to know where he'll end up. Another interesting lawsuit from we used to hear about this more, I think, during the Borat days, but it's come back around. Sacha Baron Cohen won a legal victory last week when an appeals court in New York City rejected a defamation lawsuit filed by former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore. Remember Moore?
Yeah. Cowboy hat guy?
Well, he was the one that was had the sexual misconduct allegations with the teenage girls in the mall. Remember all that?
He
lost to Tuberville?
I don't. It's all one big
thing. Yes. Yeah. In Alabama, case. Right?
Yeah, the football coach.
So he sued Cohen for $95 million after he was tricked into an appearance on Who Is America, which was, you know, his
last film, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, wasn't it like a series?
It was like a web series.
Yeah. In the segment, Cohen appeared, and I'll show you in a second, appeared as a fake counterterrorism instructor and showed off this fake piece of technology
that he
claimed was a pedophile detector. And this is what happened.
Neither of us are sex offenders, then it makes absolutely nothing. You just put it on, you put it nearby.
He's right. Waving.
This is obviously a problem. Hold on. It must be faulty.
Look at that eyebrow.
It's malfunctioning. I'm sure it will do the same with the other guy here.
And then they bring over the bodyguard, and of course, nothing.
Yeah.
So he was pissed.
Chauvin was guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter.
Okay. There you go.
But murder. Yep. Anyway, it doesn't fit the definition of murder, but what are we going to do? Fucking have the country burn down? So there you go.
Well, yeah. We did at some point, but we don't know what those definitions are. I'd be curious to get a refresher on that.
The other guys, too. The guys who were like, one guy was like his second day on the job or something, and he's like trying to do crowd control, and his superior's on top of George Floyd. I don't know what we want to do with that guy. Like, I feel like, if it was, it was like his second day. I don't know. No, I don't know what happened to those guys. They were trying to get them on manslaughter shit too, and I just feel like they were just fucking along for the ride.
They were both charged, right?
Oh yeah.
So we talked the other day about Vince McMahon's been sort of absent, and apparently there's some misconduct allegations going on. Well, we have a little more info. The Wall Street Journal reports that he paid four women at least $12 million total over the past 16 years to hide numerous allegations
now,
of sexual misconduct.
Now, is that favorite nations?
With the ladies?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you each get $3 million.
Because, I can answer that.
What if I give Jessica $7 million and I give you $375K?
Why
and then
did
aren't
Candy
you pissed?
Get $6 million and I'm only being offered a half a million?
Well, first off, there's a wide range in terms of quality of blowjobs, sweetheart.
Dare
and they're
you.
Not all $7 million blowjobs.
These lips weren't free.
There's some $375,000 blowjobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's sushi you get at the... You know, 7-Eleven,
yeah.
And then there's sushi you get down at Nobu. You know,
very hurtful, but it. You
no,
are
I don't mean
sense.
To say your blowjob is 7-Eleven sushi, but what I'm saying is, not everything's the same. Forget the sushi reference.
Sushi.
There's a Rolls Royce and there's a Daihatsu Charade.
A what?
I keep using these bad analogies. So what I'm saying is, not everything's the same.
Yeah, but
and
she got
better
3
things
million.
Cost more. Yeah, I know. She took her retainer out.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's the breakdown of who
7-Eleven sushi.
Who he's reportedly paid out and how much. A $7.5 million payout in 2018 to a former wrestler.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I will ask Dean and Brian mm-hmm. as well. We should take umbrage to the California roll.
It's
like the non-sushi.
I thought you missed stop sign.
Yeah, that's also called a California.
I'm on sushi. Weak sauce, nothing.
Yes.
There's no raw fish in it. Sort of.
It's crab with a K.
It's a sushi you buy for kids.
Yeah.
It's entry-level sushi.
Yeah, it's like when you got a finicky nine-year-old, yeah. You're like, all right, we'll get you the California roll, right? Yeah.
Years ago, when I tried to get my brother and my parents into sushi, I gave them California rolls. Like, here you go, this is a starter roll.
Yeah, it's very non-threatening. Mm-hmm. Although, I got to tell you something. Sometimes, for whatever reason, when you've already ordered your like adult sushi, a California roll hand roll can really hit the spot. With the
listen,
I never get it.
I love it all. I'm just saying it's a little insulting to Californians.
It is
like
very
we
much so.
Can't handle sushi.
Yeah.
That should be called the Idaho roll.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well,
that should be the
give
Idaho
it to those
roll.
Squares.
Yeah.
Or give it back to Philadelphia with the cream cheese
no one
roll.
Eats more sushi per capita, bitches.
That's right.
Or at least Bakersfield roll if you're going to
yeah, we're
going to
get regional. Yeah, we don't want the fucking training wheels on our roll.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. The highest number of great sushi restaurants outside of Japan. Is here in California.
Yeah,
and we have the weakest. We have a roll that doesn't exist, I'm sure, in Japan that they make fun of. Let's see if we can work on getting this renamed.
And speaking of rolls that they make fun of that we eat, how come it's always like the hot and sexy night roll and like these weird names
they do
on the menu?
I never seen that shit.
What?
Where you go? I go to Katsuya.
Oh, that's
just
why.
Like real rolls.
Actually, Katsuya is really good.
It is.
I love it.
You go to the one in Brentwood?
Yeah.
No, I go to the one Studio City.
Studio City
next
to
Rusty's dog place.
That's right.
Where he's had three eras of Rusty, the Lassie looking dog.
Chris can explain why we call it the California roll.
It was created by a Japanese-born chef who was actually a resident of Vancouver in the 70s. He called it the California roll because of the contents of crab and avocado, abbreviated to CA.
But it doesn't have crap in it.
That's dubious.
Yeah. Call it the Vancouver roll.
Yeah.
You were there. That's where it was born.
That's right.
I was just in Vancouver. It's so great.
It's awesome.
It's the best.
I can't even believe. First of all, you want to talk architecture. Holy smokes. And then it's like you're in like all these sections of Hong Kong with just beautiful towers and then mountains and water. You're like, oh, how I got to live here except for the rain.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oh god!
And good enough for Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah,
who I think lives there.
Very expensive.
Oh really? Crazy expensive.
Yeah.
More than New York and San Francisco.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's all the Chinese money.
But they're putting a stop to that.
Oh, they are. That's
right. They're saying no more of this foreign investor flipping shit because it's driving up the prices for everyone else. I wish they would do that in California.
It's beautiful there, man. I love it so much.
I went there for Jimmy's bachelor party.
And we went for a long weekend and did shows.
We did the Rogers Arena there, just downtown, just walking around. It was a rare sunny day last week, and you're just like, oh, this is beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Great food, great people.
Yeah,
healthcare.
Very nice.
This is wild.
Vancouver rolls.
Bicycles. I got a tooth fixed. Seaplanes rolling into the bay.
Yeah, yeah. People said hi.
Yeah, you get why it's expensive. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's great.
You got a Hyatt update, says Chris?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he texted me this, and I forgot to let you know. So this is probably what Dr. Bruce was looking at, because remember when I told you it's literally just a headline that says, you know, John Hyatt and Louis Body. Chris says that that was actually the author saying he had Louis Body.
Yes, yeah, so it's the name of the guy's blog is Living with Louis Body Dementia. And then so he's auctioning off his vinyl records. So one of the pages is for John Hyatt. So I texted Bruce, Dr. Bruce as well. He saw the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So it literally looks just like a headline.
John Hyatt living with Louis Body Dementia.
But yeah, in fact, John Hyatt just played a show a couple weeks ago, and there was a
Louis
review.
Body Dementia?
Now, wait, did John Hyatt's wife pass away?
Well, that's a whole different
question.
Maybe
his first wife.
Yes.
I think. But anyway, okay.
All right, yeah. Good news.
Yeah, so it looks the headline is Hyatt shows no signs of slowing down.
It is
it's a direct response to our conversation.
Yeah.
It is.
right there, that's just the classic, you know, yeah, you hear about John, and then no one checks for years. It's like, yeah, I think he's dead now. You know, it's just like, that's it right there. No one reads.
Well, you know, it's funny, I'm going to say this twice a week. I thought the computer was going to fix all our horrible game of telephone.
Far from it.
It is not.
It's weaponized it.
It's now caused it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do a bit where I say, no one reads. You know, I tweeted on stage at 9, guy tweeted right back, what time? You know, that's the world right there. It's like, what the fuck? Oh, it makes me crazy. What time?
I'll tell you what I've found. If you dare put more than one piece of information, like you can go, let's go to dinner at 9. We'll go to Lucky's. You will get back where or what time.
Yeah.
Because you'd put two pieces of information in your text or your tweet.
You want to cause a full eruption in your tweet, just put down, these are like probably my favorite restaurants, 1 through 5. Probably. And then for the next 2 weeks, it's, oh, fuck you. Yep. That fucking, what about fucking, bro? And then it's just a barrage of everyone's opinion. And you're like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Just a list. Just make a list. Like, today I'm just going to make this list and watch it go crazy. And then at the end, you got to put show at 9.
Fucking. One of my favorite tweets of all time is, do you know Morgan Murphy? I like to follow her on Twitter. And just a general observation of Twitter, she says, until Twitter started, I didn't know my jokes had answers.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody wants to get in on the act and prove what you just said.
Oh, yeah.
So one payment for Vince McMahon, $7.5 million, one million, $3 million. So you're right. Mm, I guess
not favorite different nation. Quality.
Well, what if you consulted with Erwin S. Schyster?
Well, maybe.
There was a wrestler named IRS, Erwin S. Schyster. He was an accountant.
Really?
Wasn't a great gimmick. Put up IRS.
Is that where the term came from? What a shyster.
I believe Mr. Schyster was mid-late 90s. Character. So I believe the term existed long before that.
Did so Vince.
Not a great gimmick.
Now, is it that they have, like the one that gets 7 million?
$7.5 million.
God, I was trying to spot on with that one.
That's a wrestler who alleged coerced her into giving him oral sex and then demoted her and then declined to renew her contract. So a lot of elements.
I don't,
of
you know,
pieces.
I speak for a living, but I've never been able to cobble the words that could talk someone into giving me a blowjob. And I'm a wordsmith, you know, but
you
still
can't do it.
And Lord knows I've tried, but I've never been able to just using words.
Yeah.
Been able to pull off a blowjob with someone who didn't want to give me a blowjob.
Yeah.
But evidently he's effective.
You didn't dangle a WWE contract in front of the lady.
I needed a contract
to dangle.
The next
Diva champion.
That's
yes.
right. Yeah, $1 million to a WWE contractor who presented the company with unsolicited nudes of Mr. McMahon that she reported she received. Why do you guys do that? Unsolicited, I don't understand why
Check
you would
phone.
Put yourself... But why you would put yourself in that position? You know what I mean?
Well, look, first off, Jeff Bezos had dick pics, so sure. It's not just guys who've been hitting the head too many times on a turnbuckle. Yeah. It evidently affects even our greatest American.
But if somebody hasn't asked for it, like, aren't you just asking for trouble?
It's not just George the Animal Steel.
You have to have a big hog.
I miss him.
This is not a small dick activity.
Right.
I don't get the logic in it. Mm. It's never made a woman sort of turn the corner and become attracted to you.
Because, it's definitely gross looking.
Yeah. But you know who it does make turn the corner is other dudes. Mm. So that's like the perfect, you know, chocolate and peanut butter cup.
Yeah. I even do the dime for scale.
Yeah, you got to.
But I have a smaller Canadian dime. Dime for scale.
Well, I told you the boys.
Well, they need, it can't just be floating in outer space.
No. I told you the boys would say
Canadian dimes.
No, what I'm saying is if you're standing out in your yard and a commercial airliner flies over, you can hold one finger up and block it out. You know what I mean? So there needs to be scale.
I told you on Grindr, they were doing quarters. Like, I'm 6 quarters because you lay them on your hard.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You got to. Got to be honest.
Quarters. Worst drinking game ever.
Yeah. King Kong Bundy goes
cock, like cock quarters. How about beer pong? No.
Cock quarters.
Come on. I got to roll.
Remember when, was it Chris Evans accidentally, we saw a picture of his dick and everyone was like, you guys leave him alone. He's really embarrassed.
But it's always the guys with the big hogs who mysteriously, oh my God, it slipped out.
It's been 25 minutes. No IRS.
Come on.
You put it up. We have it.
Looks like Chris Maloney.
Now, wait. He's a wrestler?
This was the end of briefcase? I'm not an expert, but I'm an enthusiast. This is the end of kind of silly gimmicks like the Honky Tonk Man and that kind of shit. Like, they got into more personalities. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Inspired by Wall Street, the movie?
No, he was like a corrupt not attorney.
I know, but he has even the look of like Wall Street-y kind of
thing. Corrupt accountant. I think he worked with Ted DiBiase.
Oh, really? The million dollar man.
Come on.
Makes sense.
Is that one of those Canadian dimes right there he's holding?
For
he's
scale.
He's giving the little money.
Yeah.
So, there's one that he's.
Why is there a moose on your dime on your dick pic, Adam? I should have flipped it over.
Is that Queen Elizabeth?
That's definitely a toupee, right?
Slick back hair. Well, you're in the ring grappling. He was a wrestler.
Wow. You can't go in the into the ring with a toupee.
I know zero about wrestling.
No, if you could, Hogan would have done it 25 years ago.
That's right.
Well, he did the bandana instead. So a bunch of ladies coming forward, and we'll see what comes of that. Amber Heard may have a way to pay off all of her debts in full and get her side of the story told if she's very careful. She may do a big tell-all book.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
here's the thing. So according to Radar Online, Amber thinks her career's over after that ugly court battle and figures she has nothing to lose. So she's promising to dish all this dirt, whatever, when she delivers this book.
Can't she not profit off this?
Well, it would go to him, I guess. You know, were we thinking of? Like OJ.
Like OJ.
Right.
OJ can keep his pension, I think.
Right, but when he wrote the book, I did it, yeah.
What do you think the advance would be on something like this?
Well, they're talking $15 million.
Wow.
Because that's what she needs.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she needs like 8.5.
I've done books and gotten many advances in the part where here's what I need.
Yeah.
I live a kind of champagne lifestyle versus how many units you sold last time. Yeah. There's an equation. It's not simply based on the author's wish.
Well, I don't want to write a book anymore.
Here's what I need.
I like mid-century modern in Montana. Yeah. So let me write this down on this cocktail napkin.
I'm writing a book this week.
Hold on, I'm still right. Got a second cocktail.
Oh, this one folds open. Okay, yeah, I'll just keep going. Yeah, so anyway, I'll just slide that across, and I'll need it all, by the way, in advance. A lot of you guys like to play games like, upon completion of a rough draft or manuscript.
Bring it all up.
And I want to be paid in Canadian dimes.
Yeah.
Don't ask why.
Canadian dimes.
So, good point. Point taken. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with this. So there's an insider, of course, they won't reveal the name, says she needs to be extremely careful as to what she says, because if she crosses the line, which is likely, there's no question she's going to be sued again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, so how does she write a tell-all with a very litigious person
That's
who has a history of winning?
That's how you get the sequel going.
Listen, okay, she's where Lindsay Lohan was at 7 years ago. Mm. It's marry the oligarch. You know what I mean?
She just got engaged.
There's a bunch of dudes in Russia.
Lindsay Lohan,
You'll never work again. It doesn't matter if your career tanks. No. You're not so old that they've seen a few of your movies. There's an always just a fucking golden parachute for all of these chicks, which is, all right, the guy's fat and he's 28 years your senior. You have to tolerate sex, you know, once a month with him. But you live on a yacht.
Yeah.
So just go fucking marry that
dude. You'll be fine. Your kids will be fine. She just got engaged. I want to say the guy's name is Bader Shamza.
Oh, that's that dude she's been seeing for a while in Dubai or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Dubai. I was way off.
Exactly.
Bader?
So he's a kajillionaire?
Yeah, but he looks normal.
So.
He looks normal.
I mean, he's age appropriate, whatever that means.
He's not like that. Those old Mr. Burns looking billionaires.
Oh, no. He's like, he looks her age.
He's not a Greek tycoon.
No. No. He's not Onassis.
But what do you think his net worth? Like, it's going to be something ridiculous?
It's pretty crazy.
Come on.
Did Grace Kelly marry a Greek tycoon, or was that a royalty? That was a royalty.
She married royalty, and Jackie Kennedy Onassis married
Jacqueline Bouvier.
Yeah,
Grace Kelly still had it going on. Like, she was arguably in her prime.
Oh, yeah.
He reportedly is worth $100 million.
Well, that's not
much. So she'll be all right.
It's not oligarch money, but she'll land on her feet.
It's no Weird Al money.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, I got a new book coming out called Everything Reminds Me of Something, and that'll be out July 19th.
Are you getting $15 million?
You got that sweet advance.
Listen, I got twins, and they like California rolls, so I'm going to need you to do a little bit better.
They like the private escort at Disneyland.
They don't need Trader Joe's California rolls.
I'm a Jet Sweet X man. I'm not a Southwest man, all right? So I'm just going to front load this conversation with that.
Picked my accountant, Irwin.
That's right, the wrestler. He'll get you in a figure four. If you don't fucking cross him. All right, Dean, what you should do with Dean is he's going to be at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins, Colorado, July 15th and 16th. And you can check out his podcast, Let There Be Talk, and find out all about his dates at deandelray.com. Matt Walsh and Christina
Chang.
Press Play is the name of their movie, available as we speak on VOD. I'm going to be in Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday, July 15th and 16th. Four shows over there. Kyle Dunnigan's coming on Saturday. Always good. So, until next time, this is Adam for Dean and Matt, and Christine and Gina and Bald. Say it. Mahalo.
When you look like me, you got to work like super hard.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And you can get tickets to see The Ace Man right now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.